الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله رب العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم، من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا فاطمة، كل عين باكية يوم القيامة إلا عين بكت على مصاب الحسين، فإنها ضاحكة مستبشرة بنعيم الجنة. صلوات الله.
اللهم صل على محمد.
It is really the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim, that even though the mu'mineen have got their busy schedules, yet they find that time to come to listen to the dhikr of Husayn ibn Ali and to come and listen to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim ajma'in. For that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of us for having taken this pain to come here and to listen to the masa'ib and to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhi. For surely this is a guaranteed thing that even the Holy Prophet has told us, that la as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba, and I do not need anything from you for my services that I have rendered to you, save that you love my Ahlul Bayt. It is really a miracle around the world, around the globe, and I may not be wrong to say that even the people in the heavens, the angels, are also gathering in commemoration of the martyrdom of the master of the martyrs, Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. As we saw yesterday, that Adam was created and Shaitan was the first angel of Allah who refused the appointment of Adam, and thus he was ousted from the heaven. That was the first time that someone refused the appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of pride, because of kibr, because of bigness, as he says, because he compared himself with Adam. But the trait didn't finish with Adam, it continued all the way. If you take the Prophet from Adam to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find two types of people. One who accepted the appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other who joined the group of shaitan and refused to accept the khilafat and the appointment of the Holy Prophet. Similarly, when the Holy Prophet left behind his vicegerents, when he left behind his representatives, not Nabi after that, but as in forms of imams, then also you find that this trait of shaitan kept on following. There were those groups which accepted the imamate of the imams, and there were those groups which rejected the imamate of the imams. Salamullah alayhi majma'in. As we saw yesterday, that Imam Ja'far Sadiq has taught us to recite a ziyarat for Imam Hussein in a form of ziyarat waritha that we recite every Thursday. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Adam safwatillah. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Nuhin Nabiyillah. Assalamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim Khalilillah. And we saw that Hussein ibn Ali inherited the khilafat from Adam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not fail to recite salawat, because this is one of the best worships that one can have in their lives. Recite one salawat, please. From the time of the first prophet to the time of the last prophet that we have, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam has inherited each and every trait from every prophet. If he either inherited khilafat, he either inherited courage, he either inherited bravery, or whatever that you can see he inherited from the prophets. Some of the prophets were tested singularly. Whereas when you come to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, all the tests were in one person, in Hussein ibn Ali. We find that Adam suffered a test of his son. We find that Ibrahim suffered the test of his son. We find that Nuh suffered the test of his son. But all of this was only pertaining their sons, their families, one or two or three people in the family. Whereas when you come to the masters of the martyrs, Hussein ibn Ali, you will not find one son or two sons, but even the ladies of the household of Imam Hussein were tied with ropes. This is a test which is a supreme sacrifice given by Hussein ibn Ali for saving Islam. And thus, Imam Ja'far Sadiq says, when you recite this ziyarat, recite it in such a way that all the tests of the Prophet in one side and the test of Hussein ibn Ali alone on the other side, and the balance is same. And the balance is same. We see that Imam Hussein inherited many traits from this Anbiya salamullahi alayhim. One of the traits which also we should imitate our holy imams and our holy prophets is the trait of faith, what you call the trait of iman, as it is one of the things that saves one from falling into the pitfalls of sins. As we saw in our earlier lectures, we saw that Yusuf was saved because of his iman to fall in the pitfall. He was saved because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him the light. And Allah's light is everywhere. He is not choosy. He doesn't choose who he will give his light to. Anybody who wishes and who wants the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get it if he so wishes. Over here we find that the faith of these prophets were steadfast, non-shaken. The faith of the prophets from Adam all the way to our 12th Imam Hadrat Hujjat Salamullahi Alayhi. Is something that was unshaken. And this is one thing which we should imitate. This is called positive imitation. Because if we imitate others, I call that negative imitation. Because imitation is weakness of oneself. I cannot do something, I see someone doing something, I like it in him, whether it is good or bad, I will imitate. A footballer buys some kind of a shirt, it is in the markets everywhere. David Beckham had got hurt here, he put a bandage here. The next day, bandage were selling like anything, hot cakes. This is negative imitation. It's not going to help us anyway. What is going to help us is positive imitation. And we have to follow and we imitate only those whom Allah has sent us to imitate. Whom Allah has sent us to imitate. Thus, when we imitate them from A to Z. We imitate them in faith, we imitate them in bravery, we imitate them in courage, we imitate them in ibadat and in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, you will see that a Muslim is a Muslim when he is in Hajj. A Muslim is a Muslim when he is in the mosque. A Muslim is a Muslim when he is in the ziyarats. A Muslim is a Muslim when he is sitting amongst the mu'mineen. But when he goes to the malls, when he goes to the cricket grounds, when he goes to the cinemas, he ceases to become a Muslim. Why does he cease to become a Muslim? Allah says in the Holy Quran, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. This is a reply that Allah has given to the Holy Prophet saying, these are the type of people that you'll get in this world. What can we do? And the Bedouins say, O Rasulullah, we have brought faith. Allah says, tell these people, you have not brought faith. You have merely submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have just said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you have accepted Islam. That's it. So did Yazid accept Islam? So did Muawiyah accept Islam? So did Abu Sufyan accept Islam? So did so many others accept Islam? But there is a difference between Islam and Iman. Imam Ja'far Sadiq says, Innal Iman afdalu min al Islam. It is evident. You don't need to study hard for this. Innal Iman afdalu min al Islam wa innal Yaqeen afdalu min al Iman. You get a step further. That Iman is better than Islam. Iman is better than Islam. But better than is Iman is something else, which is Yaqeen. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord so much, worship Him so much that you reach the state of surety that His noble Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet's head and they have. This is what we are supposed to imitate. This is what me and you are supposed to imitate. So that when we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tell Him, Ya Allah, not only did we submit, but we also brought Iman with Yaqeen. Just like the Prophet had taught us to. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-Imanu ala arba'ati arkan. One of the ways of furthering our Iman, faith. The love of Ahlul Bayt is one thing, the faith in Allah is another, and that is all together mixing and making one person mu'min. Everything of this thing is interlinked. It is not different. It is not that Allah is different than Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt are different than Allah. All of us are the servants of Allah. The Ahlul Bayt are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have got a special mission to come and give to me and you. And we are following. Imam says, Iman is standing on four pillars. Stands on four pillars. One, At-tawakkulu ala Allah. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two, At-tafweedu ila Allah. Entrusting one's affair in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three, وَالتَّسْلِيمُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourth, الرِّضَاءُ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. Accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the pillars of Iman. The pillars of faith. When I talk about tawakkul, and when Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet teach us about tawakkul, we find that trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be inculcated in each and every person in our community. The trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was Luqman Hakim giving his son advices. As you know, he was a very, very wise man. He was giving his son advices. He was saying, "Oh son, I wonder on this human being, that when he is in his state, he wonders and he thinks ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thinks Allah is not looking at him. He feels Allah is not listening to him. He feels Allah is not sustaining him." Recite one salawat, please. He is not sustaining him. Why? Because Allah has chosen to put him in a few tests. He says, "Listen, son, when a child is conceived in the mother's womb, it is fed through the umbilical cord of the mother." And I'm not a doctor, but doctors will verify this. The child who is inside the stomach is fed by the umbilical cord of the mother. The atmosphere in the stomach is just right. The water in which it is there, the amniotic fluid that they call, doesn't drown the child. It doesn't die. It gets the sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The temperature is right. The growth is right. With the growth of the child, the mother's stomach grows as well. And that is nothing but Allah's creation. He says, "Listen, this is the first step. When the child comes out of the womb of the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives milk to the mother." How is milk created? People don't inject milk inside the bosoms of the mothers. They don't eat medicine to create milk. Allah gives milk to this mother. Not only to humans, even to animals. We drink cow's milk, don't we? But before we drank cow's milk, we drank the milk of our mother. And today we should be proud that our mother fed us this milk, saying and taking the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. And teaching us Allah ek, panjatan panch, imam bara. Allah is one. There are five holy panjatans and the imams are 12. And there are 14 ma'asums and there are 124,000 prophets. These are the teachings that our mother gave us through feeding us from the bosoms, the milk. And Luqman says, "This milk, who created this milk? Allah created this milk. He sustained this child." Then a step further, when the child grows up, it is the responsibility and the duty of the father to provide sustenance for the children, to provide sustenance for the child, so that the child eats and becomes big and he grows. Now, when the child becomes 18, 19, 20, university age, and when now he is alone in this world, he is left from his father, and his father says, "Son, now you go and fight the battles yourself." And when he finds difficulties in life, he starts saying, "God, are you not seeing me? Why am I suffering so much? Why don't I get sustenance that I wish to get?" Luqman says, "I feel wonder at this person. Why didn't he ask this question when he was in the womb of his mother? Who was feeding him then? Why didn't he ask this question when he was fed by the breast of the mother? Why didn't he ask this question when he was being fed by his father? Why is he asking the question today? Doesn't he have the faith and the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And by the way, tawakkul doesn't mean that one stands in front of the speed train and say, "Okay, I'm staying here. Tawakkul on Allah, the train will not kill me." That's foolishness. Or standing on the motorway to wait for the car to come and blow you and say, "I'm doing tawakkul on Allah." That's not tawakkul. Tawakkul means you exhaust your resources, you exhaust everything that you have. You exhaust studying. All night you study for your exams. All night you study for your deals. And then leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is good for you will happen. What is bad for you will not happen. And that in itself is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in itself is faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul, this is one of the pillars of strengthening one's faith. Number two, at-tafweedh ilallah. entrusting the affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Every morning we pray this, don't we? Every morning after subuh prayers we recite this. That we have entrusted our affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is all-seeing. He will deal with me. He will deal with my whole day. Whatever is good for me, I want it to happen. Whatever is bad for me, I would accept it as the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I entrust my all affairs in the hands of Allah. Then we come into the taslim li amrillah. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. O Prophet, tell these people of yours who believe in you. Tell them, nothing is going to afflict you at all except that which Allah wishes. When a person says, I'm going to put a najar on you and I'm going to do this to you and you will see that your household will fall and your children will do this and your family will have this illness and you know, and then this person goes to the Mawlana and says, Mawlana, abhi kya kare hum? To kaha, achha, char kul pad lo. شروع کر دو بسم اللہ قل اعوذ برب الناس ملک الناس الہ الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس. ٹھیک ہے, it's good. It's not that you can't recite this surah. In fact, in the tafsir of this surah, it is mentioned that if you fear any of these things, recite this surah. قل اعوذ برب الناس and قل اعوذ برب الفلق, which is called معوذتين. But why should I believe in these so-called superstitious things when I know that Allah is there? Only if He wishes will the affliction take place. Otherwise it won't. So when I submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala full-heartedly. Not scaredly, not fearfully. Full-heartedly I submit to the will of Allah and say, Ya Allah, if you have taken my father away from me, then be it so, be it. This is your will, this is your wish. I am content with the wish. And the last one, the last pillar of faith, to strengthen our faith in our children here as well, is الرِّضَاءُ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ, accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one thing here, because we are doing Ziyarati Waritha and time is really running. Because we are doing Ziyarati Waritha, we need to see that this Imam, what did he inherit from Nuh and Adam and Ibrahim? Khilafat is one thing, Mansab is one thing, but he inherited faith from them as well. Tawakkul, Tafweel, decree. When we see Nuh, we see that Janab Nuh building the ship, people were laughing at him, mocking him. At night, people used to go and throw garbage on the ship. In the morning he comes, he looks at the ship, looks at the people, say, Ya Allah, guide these people, they do not know what they are doing. He cleans his ship, again he makes it. And by the way, do you know, in the Soviet Union, this plaque of the ship is still available. It is kept in some museum, in which there is some kind of engraving. I have got this paper here in the with me. If anybody wishes to see, I'll bring it inshallah tomorrow. It is reported in many newspapers in the year 1950s and 60s that in that plaque it is written and Nuh had engraved, O Allah, protect this ship by the name of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. And this is reported in numerous newspapers around the world. I have the copy inshallah, if anybody wishes to see, just let me know and tomorrow I'll bring it for you. But the tafweed ila Allah that he had, the taslim of the amrullah that he had, the tawakkul of Allah that he had, was huge, was great. 950 years he did tabligh. He would have told Allah and it would have been easy for him. Allah listens to the prophets. It would have been easy for Allah to say, okay, Nuh, if you are tired, have a rest, come to me. And I'll send another prophet in your place. Instead of that, he said, no, whatever you have willed, O Allah, I shall do. If you want me to do the tabligh of Allah, I will do. And he did it. Yet what happened? Those people who didn't believe drowned. Those people who believed were saved in the ship. Isn't there a hadith on Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam which says, Inna al-Husayn misbah al-huda wa safinatun najat? That Hussein is the light of guidance and he is the ship of salvation. Even today we hear Imam Hussein saying, Hal min nasirin yansurna? Is there anyone who would come and help me? Not help me in fighting, because there is no fighting anymore. But is there anyone who would come and climb the ship of Najat and go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even today the ship is calling on people. Even today the mercy of Allah is calling on people. The ship of Hussein ibn Ali is calling on people to say, come, climb on the ship of Hussein and reach salvation. Reach salvation. There will be a day when this world will be on fire. And when the lovers of Hussein ibn Ali will be on his ship. Inshallah ta'ala. There will be a day. But now, the time is the people are calling Hussein. Hussein is calling the people towards the ship. Just like Nuh did. We take Ibrahim. We take his resolve. We take his iman. What type of iman did he have? And we spoke about these two prophets, but on the light of how they brought their children up. But standing in front of a tyrant was not easy. Even today it is not easy. We saw what happened in Iraq. We saw that Saddam Hussein ruled for 30 years with a tyrant, with an iron grip. He was a tyrant. People were fearing their lives, which was right. They had to fear their lives. It is wajib to save your lives. It was not easy, or it is not easy to stand in front of a tyrant. Yet we see Ibrahim, a little boy, saying to this group, today is Eid. You go to the village. I wish to stay at home. I'm not coming to the Eid party, the Eid Mela, the Eid function. So the group goes, the people go to the Eid in the next village. And Ibrahim is left behind. What does he do? Recite one salawat, please. What does he do? He goes and he breaks the idols. One by one. One doesn't have a head, the other doesn't have an arm, the other doesn't have legs. He breaks them all. And he leaves the last one, the biggest one. The biggest shaitan he leaves. And he goes and puts the X on the shoulder. That's it. People come back from the other village, they come in the sea, and they say, wow, what has happened to our... Just imagine if this mosque was supposed to be broken down, things, when we come, it is going to be very painful for us. But at least this is a mosque of Allah. It is the house of Hussein ibn Ali, salamullahi alayhi. Our pain and our crying would be valid, but there, these stones, what can they benefit you? What can they harm? What harm can they give you? What benefit can they do for you? And he broke these idols. The people came and he said, who has done this and who has broken these idols? So one of them said, there is this boy who didn't come to the party. It must be him. Let us follow him. So they go and they say, Ibrahim, are you the one who broke these idols? Because they knew from the very long time ago that he used to go and tell his uncle, Azar, that, oh uncle, don't make idols. This is not going to benefit you. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For say la ilaha illallah. And he used to say, Araghibun anta an alihatina ya Ibrahim? Are you keeping us away from our lords, Ibrahim? And Ibrahim said, no, there is only one lord in this world. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said, have you broken our gods? Ibrahim said, no, I haven't. He didn't say, no, I haven't. He said, no. He used the principle of forcing them to admit that they could not speak. He said, ask the big one. He's got an X around his shoulder. Ask him who has broken it. Why are you asking me? And they looked at each other and said, now what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? Who are these idols going to speak to? This was his resolve. This was his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the tawakkul also of Ibrahim that I told you about 3-4 days ago, that when he was thrown by Namrud to the fire, in the middle of the air, Jibreel comes up to him and says, Ya Ibrahim, do you want help? He says, yes I do, but not from you, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the level of tawakkul that Ibrahim had. And he finds himself being told by Allah, "Oh Ibrahim, leave Palestine and go to Makkah. Go to Makkah. اذهب إلى وادي ذي زرع غير ذي زرع. Go to a place which is non-inhabitable. There is no growth there. There is no water there." And he takes his son Ismail and he takes his son Hajra to Makkah. He takes them to Saudi Arabia, present Saudi Arabia. From a lush place, Palestine, he takes them to somewhere where there is no water, there is no growth, there is no vegetation. And then Allah says, now do this and do this and do, and he is now busy in obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas Hajara and Ismail are suffering there. The heat is intense, there is no water. Hajara goes and does Safa and Marwa, what we do today in Hajj. Our Hajj is 5-star, by the way. This 5-star Hajj was not then. This Safa and Marwa was covered, it is not covered then. Now it is covered for the Hujjaj who go and seek pleasure and who go and seek peace in Hajj. There was no cover, it was heat, intense heat. Ismail was a child, was a baby. And Hajara goes Safa and Marwa 7 times to look for water. She doesn't find water, she says, "Ya Ibrahim, you have left me in this wilderness. Our son is going to die because of thirst." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his mercy makes Ismail hit the ground, and then there is a spring of Zamzam there. Even today we have this Zamzam that is the barakah of Ismail and Ibrahim. This is the barakah of these prophets. Yet we see another example. The same thing happened. Imam Hussein was resting peacefully in Medina. He had no fights with anybody. The people of Kufa write to him, say, "Imam, things are not getting good here. Things are getting bad." He leaves his place and he goes all the way to a place where there is no water, where there is no food in the tents. The resolve that Imam Hussein had, the same resolve Ibrahim had, he took and he inherited this iman and this resolve of Ibrahim, Imam Hussein did. And he went to Karbala not only with his daughter, not only with his son. Ibrahim went only with Ismail and Hajar. But Hussein ibn Ali didn't only go with his son, he even went with his sister and the children of his sisters. This is the faith and the iman and the imitation that we ought to do and to follow this holy and noble people. On the night of Ashura, we find that the tents of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is busy in tasbih and taqdis. They are busy in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are busy in calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no food, there is no water for 3 days now. Lips are parched, children are crying because of thirst and hunger. Ali Asghar is crying because of hunger, because of thirst. There is no milk in the breasts of the mother, simply because she hasn't eaten herself in order to produce milk. Sakina gathers the children and says, pray to Allah that tomorrow may be the day when our uncle Abbas goes to the waterfront and gets some water for us. Just pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Ashura, as we all heard, that the Sahabis went one by one. They gave away their lives in the name of Allah, in the name of Hussein ibn Ali, in the name of saving Islam. Habib ibn Mazahir went, Hur went, Muslim ibn Awsaja went. All of the Sahabis went and gave away their lives. Now the turn of the Bani Hashim came. Azadaran Imam Hussein, the time of the Bani Hashim came now. The children of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the time now. On the night of Ashura, you find in the Maqatil that the children of Banu Hashim, Qasim, Aun, Muhammad, Ali Akbar are sitting in a corner and discussing about what's going to happen tomorrow and what Imam Hussein is going to say to them and what they should do to save Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasallam. Suddenly, Lady Zainab comes in there. She looks at the children and she says, "Yes, sons, yes. Tomorrow will be the day when the supreme sacrifice shall call upon you. It shall call upon you, my children, go and save Hussein. Go and save your uncles and your father. To this, Aun and Muhammad, the two sons of Zainab, when they left Medina, Abdullah bin Ja'far said, Zainab, when a time which is difficult, come to Hussein. Give my two children in the way of Islam. Give my two children to Hussein. Let them be slain in the way of Allah if that is to be. And Aun and Muhammad are now sitting there. Zainab comes to them and says, sons, tomorrow I do not want you to even for a moment think of coming back from the battlefield. This is my admonition to you that tomorrow when the time comes, give your life away to Hussein ibn Ali. What love did this sister have for the brother? What love did she have for Hussein? When in the morning, the time came, she went to Hussein ibn Ali. And just imagine this scenario. Just imagine this scene. A sister going to the brother saying that, oh brother, allow my sons to go and give their lives away for you. She goes to Hussein. She closes her hands and says, Ya Mawla, Ya brother, oh my brother, oh my master, oh Hussein, this Zainab has never asked for anything from you. My first and last request is, please allow my two sons to go to the battlefield to lay their lives down for you. Hussein ibn Ali looks at Zainab and says, Zainab, this is a time that has come upon me that I have to allow your sons to go to the battlefield. If this is what is decreed by Allah, then so let it be. And he says, Zainab, if this is what you want, then I am allowing them to go to the battlefield. He looks at Aun and Muhammad and he tells them, sons, Aun, Muhammad, your sufferings will not last for long, for my grandfather Rasul is waiting for you in the heaven. Suddenly, the horses are brought and they are now ascending the horses. Can you imagine the heart of a mother seeing the child going to the battlefield? When our children go to study far and away, the mothers are crying at home. They remember the children, but they know that they are going to return one day. This mother knows for sure that these two sons are not going to come back. In silent prayers, she watches the sons gallop towards the battlefield. In silent prayers, she sees the sons going towards the battlefield, going to give their lives away for Hussein ibn Ali. These two sons of Zainab fight a battle that the Bani Hashim normally used to fight. They kill many of the A'da, but as usual, they are surrounded. They are surrounded and suddenly Aun falls from the horse and calls upon his uncle and says, Ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, Ya Amma, oh my uncle, I have fallen down, please come. Hussein looks at Zainab. He finds no reaction at Zainab. He looks at Zainab. He is scared what to say to Zainab. He takes the hand of Abbas and he goes to the battlefield to see Aun is lying in blood there. He picks up the head of Aun and he puts it on his lap and Aun murmurs something. Hussein ibn Ali takes his ear close to Aun's mouth and he says, Aun, what are you saying? Aun says, my uncle, can you please take this message to my mother and tell her that I have lived up to her expectations? I have given my life in your way. Oh uncle, I have heard Muhammad saying help. Can you go and see if Muhammad is okay? Aun's head is kept on the ground. Hussein ibn Ali goes to Muhammad to see that Muhammad has already departed this world. He picks up the lash, he picks up the body of Muhammad and he hugs it and Abbas comes there and says, Hussein, brother, oh my master, I am still alive to take the body to the tents. Give me the bodies, I am alive. Hussein and Abbas takes the body of the two children of Zainab back to the tent. The children are seeing this. The children are crying. The ladies are crying. But some of the riwayats say that Zainab didn't cry. Zainab did not cry. Maybe if she would have cried, it would have pained Hussein. So she kept quiet. It says she didn't even cry in Kufa. It says she didn't even cry in Sham. Where she cried was in Medina, when she was released from prison. When they went back to Medina, she goes to her house. She goes to the room of Aun and Muhammad. She looks at Abdullah ibn Ja'far and says, "Oh Abdullah, please accept sympathy. My children are no more, for they have given their lives away in Hussein ibn Ali's name. They have given their lives away." Azadaran Imam Hussein, Zainab ke do nonehal, Aun aur Muhammad, kis maa ka dil chahe ke apne farzand ko shaheed kar de? کس ماں کا دل یہ چاہتا ہو کہ اپنے بیٹوں کے لاشے کو دیکھے؟ مگر زمانہ وہ ہے کہ حسین ابن علی پہ آدھا نے گھیرا کر لیا ہے. بھائیہ کے پاس جا کے زینب کہتی ہیں, بھائیہ کبھی بھی زندگی میں نے آپ سے کچھ نہیں مانگا, کچھ نہیں مانگا بھائیہ. آج یہی میری خواہش ہے کہ عون اور محمد کو آپ اجازت دیجئے مقتل میں جانے کے لیے. عون اور محمد کو اجازت دیجئے مقتل میں جانے کے لیے. حسین نے زینب کی طرف نگاہ کر کے کہا, بہن زینب, کیا یہ چاہتی ہو کہ میں اپنے بیٹوں کو, جوان بچوں کو بھیج دوں مقتل کی طرف؟ اگر یہی خواہش ہے تو ہاں زینب, عون اور محمد جائیں گے. بیٹوں کی طرف دیکھا, عون کی طرف دیکھا, محمد کی طرف دیکھا اور کہا, بیٹا عون, بیٹا محمد, یہ پریشانی بہت دیر تک نہیں ہوگی. نانا تمہارا انتظار کر رہے ہیں جنت میں. جاؤ جاؤ مقتل کی طرف. بس یہ سننا تھا کہ عون اور محمد گھوڑے پہ سوار ہوئے, گھوڑے پہ سوار ہو کے مقتل کی طرف دوڑے. مقتل میں جا کے بہت سے اشقیاؤں کو واصل نار کیا, مگر بالآخر وقت آ گیا کہ اون زمین پہ گرے. زمین پہ گرنا تھا کہ آواز دی, چچا جان میں زمین پہ آ گیا ہوں, مجھے قوم عادہ نے بہت مارا ہے. یہ سننا تھا کہ زینب, یہ سننا تھا کہ حسین نے زینب کی طرف دیکھا, زینب کی طرف دیکھا, عباس کو تھاما اور مقتل کی طرف گئے. اون کے لاشے پہ پہنچے, اون کے لاشے کو اپنے سینے پہ رکھا. اون نے کچھ کہنا چاہا, حسین ابن علی نے اپنے کانوں کو اون کے منہ کی طرف کیا اور کہا, ہاں بیٹا کیا کہنا چاہتے ہو؟ اون نے کہا, اجا کے اماں زینب سے کہہ دیجئے گا کہ ہم نے بھی وہ لڑائی لڑی ہے, ہم بھی جعفر تیار کے پوتے ہیں. بس یہ سننا تھا. اون نے کہا, اور چچا وہاں پہ اون کی آواز آ رہی ہے, اون پکار رہے ہیں, محمد پکار رہے ہیں. بس امام حسین نے اون کو رکھا, محمد کی پاس گئے, مگر محمد کی روح جنت کو پرواز کر گئی تھی. لاشوں کو اٹھا کے خیمے میں آئے, بچوں نے اون اور محمد کی لاش کو دیکھ کر گریا کرنا شروع کیا. زینب نے بچوں پہ گریا نہیں کیا, گریا کیا تو مدینہ میں جا کے گریا کیا, جب دیکھا دو چھوٹے چھوٹے مسلے اون اور محمد کے پڑے ہیں. عبداللہ سے کہا پرسا لو اون اور محمد کا, حسین پہ جان قربان کر دی ہے انہوں نے. ماتم حسین